Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, that thou hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy head and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which has brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy later end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, the emphasis is obvious that I may not be able to take as many verses as we just read. But the emphasis is in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day, and thou shalt remember. Now there's a possibility not to remember. It's very easy for someone to remember God in the days of his affliction and forget God when things are better. So normally we don't need to ask people to remember God. Everybody besieges the gates of Zion in the days of affliction, and they seek solution when things are terrible. But the prophet Moses is trying to establish a manner of living among the people of God such that, irrespective of the circumstances in which they find themselves, Jehovah, the God of their fathers, will be the reference point to every reality and every experience that they have. That's for that. But let's look at that scripture in more greater detail. And thou shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Notice the word there is get wealth, not make wealth. Now, many times when we quote that scripture of heart, we normally use make instead of get. So he gives you power to get wealth. And the purpose for which he releases this power, or the source of this power, is traceable to a covenant. A covenant which he made with our fathers. Hallelujah. Now, there are very, very important factors in that progression of scripture that we may need to pay attention to in order for us to know what to do in such a season where it seems everything has gone haywire. Before I prophesy, I have to show you the perspective of scripture before I tell you what I heard from the mouth of God. So the issues of remembering God, because at this time they were actually prospering, and there was a temptation for them to think that it was by the strength of their arm, by the skills that they have acquired, that God, that they have amassed the kind of wealth they have. And so the prophet was bringing an admonition and say, remember the Lord thy God. Okay? Now, we are in poverty now. So you may not even need to admonish anybody about God. He knows he needs a stronghold. Because the financial template is actually predicting a very terrible weather financially. And so we're going to skip the need to remember for now, so that I can go straight to the point. Meanwhile, the meat of my message is in the remembering. But because we are in a situation where everybody has remembered God, so we'll jump that as well. Alright. So second point we can deduce from the scripture is that among other mercies, graces, among other dimensions of compassion that we enjoy from God, God also makes available to his people, in keeping with an ancient covenant, he makes the power to get wealth available to his people. Now, it will be difficult for you to understand what scripture means by the power to get wealth. Now, for those of you that know the process in getting pounded yam available, we need to go all the way to Zakibiam to find the species. Because they brought one yam the other day, pounded yam. And when I tried to make a ball out of it, the thing was disintegrating into dust. I was trying to... No, then I said, sorry. This is a different species. I never knew that the yams existed in species. That is in Zakibiam that you find the type that you can make a mold out of at this point in time. And so, in making good yam, pounded yam, you might need to take a trip to Zakibiam. That's a long journey. And you get the yam and all the procedures. So, making yam is difficult, especially now. So God is aware that making wealth is also difficult. You need to go get all the constituent parts. And so in the covenant, the provision that he made available in that covenant is the ability to get the wealth. So if Mommy Akpai has already made the pounded yam, getting it, accessing it, I think God is kind. And about you, we need wisdom to know how to get it. So God has gone to Zakibiam, he has boiled the yam, he has pounded it. He actually made it a very wonderful soup, genge soup, to go alongside. But you have to get it. He gives you power to get it, not to make it. He's the one that makes it. But he gives you the power to get it. So those are two different things. Alright? Now, so we need to know how that covenant translates to power to get. First of all, we need to discuss the covenant. I'll be just talking on this subject just for 15 minutes. Because we struck a chord yesterday night and we may need to continue. Hallelujah. Now let's take a quick look at the covenant that God made with Abraham. Because if we are talking about prosperity, God prospering you, and all the things that Isaac did. Isaac sowed, planted corn in dry season. That's what he did. And the corn grew and budded. And he harvested it in dry season. There was no rain. He sowed in the land while there was famine. The rains became irregular. And all the farmers in the region were stopped farming because the water in the soil could not support any form of plant life. Are you with me? And Isaac was coming from a family of cattle rearers. Huh? There was no record that his father ever went into plant production. And then this guy, his first adventure at plant production was in dry season. Oh, you are not following. And then in that dry season cropping, we were not told that he was farming by riverbank where there was artificial irrigation. It was in the open, dry desert. And the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in the land, and in the same year he reaped an hundredfold, and the Philistines envied him. Now what was happening to him was that he was given the power to get wealth. That was what was happening. Now if you try what he did without the power to get wealth, you will get into debt. Now so there was a power that was at work in his life that made it possible for him to go on such an agricultural adventure. A venture in which he had no experience. You know, in Israel, this is how they do it. If I am a carpenter family, our trades, our businesses are by families. We don't just jump from one trade into another trade. So the carpenter family have been into carpentry for generations. And if you come into the trade today, there's no way you will know it like somebody whose ancestors have been into joinery for so many years. So they don't do cross carpeting. If you make an inquiry about a family, you will see their trade. In fact, part of the discipleship that you will go through as a member of that family is the discipleship to come into the trade, apart from coming into the spiritual wealth of that land, you also come into the business of your own particular specific lineage. Isaac was the first to venture out of the normal things that his family people do and came into a vocation that was not known in the family line, and he was venturing into it at a time where the conditions were not adequate. And that first shot at it. How many of you have tried a venture before? Your first shot most times doesn't turn out to be good. You will need, okay. But this guy had a first shot. And the first shot that he had was a good shot. And the yield was 100-fold. That was the economic situation that set him apart as a wealthy man. It was that adventure that changed his status. And the Philistines began to take note of him. Prior to this time, the Philistines just considered him as one of the other settlers that came into the region. But when he carried out that strange agricultural feat, he was reckoned as a mighty man in the territory. He was somebody to reckon with. And what was happening around his life was that there was a power operating in him to what? To get wealth, not to make it. To get it. Hallelujah. If you want to get fish, for instance, you might need some tools. You might need a hook. You might need a net. If you want to harvest rice, you will need a sickle. There are instruments of getting. Instruments that occasion getting that you must be acquainted with, particularly in the area of prescription that comes to you through the spirit of wisdom. Now let's take a look an X-ray at the covenant that we are talking about. Because everything that pertains to the ability to get wealth is tied to that covenant. And if you are not operating on that covenant, it's so unfortunate. Your establishment when it comes to wealth, you need to seek another dimension of wisdom to be established in getting wealth. Now we need to see the scope of the covenant of which we speak. Genesis chapter 12. A power. He calls it a power to get wealth. When I was still working at the Makoti Depot here, three Muslim guys came to me and said, they have seen that I'm someone that doesn't rush for money. That the way I am is what is required for the kind of business that they want to do. People that don't rush for money are the ones that can actually access Jesus, access this kind of business and become great. But people that are rushing for it, they have failed the test. This kind of business. I said, oh, I'm interested. Sit down. Let's discuss this business. He said, before we start this business, in that you have passed the first test of not being someone that rushes for money, we will proceed on the second test, which is we have to buy a ram. And when we kill it, we'll drain the blood. Now, you don't know that to get wealth, you need power. You think you go to Abba and buy things and start selling. Well, may the Lord give you understanding. The demons you have never met before will start appearing to you because you are doing what you want to do without power. It's just like politics. You might think it's about getting a form and all of that. It's a game of power, but you will not be told the truth. My neighbor in the village, our neighbor, are you with me? No. So he is a Muslim. Our neighbor is a Muslim. After his house, then our house. My dad, when he was here alive, was so close to that guy. So they were so close. Sometimes they would gist and come close to our house. They would gist again and go. They may do that 12 times and then they will reluctantly go home. And then before we even finish morning prayer, the guy has come again in the morning. They were so close. And then And you know, when people in power begin to victimize the people, there are no rules, and it pains that guy so much. So my dad now says, if it pains you so much, is that not a sign that maybe you were also ordained to fix it? Said, yeah. I'll give it a try. And when he was now trying to do primaries, some people in the party now called him. You are actually the kind of person that we want to run for this post. But there are a few things about politics you don't know. We'll take a trip tomorrow. So they took him. If you know the terrain of Kogi State, there's a local government called Dekina. Local government. That is the home of Satan. Dekina local government is the home of Satan. Hallelujah. Yes, he is the home of Satan. They are all, in fact, that's the training school for wizardry. And there are various departments. If you want to have the kind of witchcraft that you can control the weather, there's a school for it. Yes, you can control the weather. Alright, so there's a school for that. If you want the type that you can manipulate, and then you have a farm in Makodi, every other farm that is in this town, you can manipulate. The produce that should come to those farms will appear in your own. Your own will. All of the other farms will fail, but it is all that will be gathered. The kind of harvest they will bring, if you want that type that you can control vegetation, there's a spirit like that. You'll be taught how to interact with that spirit and to please the spirit, and the spirit will go and steal other people's harvest and bring to you. If that's that you want, the spirit of the forest, if it's that type, there's a school for that. If you want to know how to fly, well, it just depends on the type you want. And the last time I checked, if even if it's Ghana that they charm you, you can destroy the charm in that place. There are people that their own work is to destroy. You are afflicted. They say, okay, you can't marry. They did something to you. Come. We are going to remove it. Those ones are there. Those ones, they remove things. Obviously, when they finish removing, they put their own. So, you now, so that's the place called the Kina. So they took him to the Kina. There's a shrine there. A man is always cooking in that shrine. They are always cooking. There's always firewood. It's burning something in the pot. It will, even now, if you go now, you'll see it burning. those are the watchers in wizardry. So they check the level of the sun, the height of the shadow that the sun casts. So they know the kind of witchcraft that can operate at that time because of the height of the shadow. So if you give them maybe a case, you want to win an election, the first thing they'll tell you, can you kill? No, this is not those things you people read in school. We are saying, for you to win, you must be a killer. First, how many wives do you have? Two. Okay, you will kill one first. The man ran away from the shrine. Came to my father. Then two of them now started that their movement. That one was not. He didn't finish. Sometimes we see that they're like this. It's by power, not by poster. It's power. By power. The man escaped. But I heard now, you know, his friend has gone. I heard now he's a strong man now. So he has gone back. Hallelujah. You know when Reverend Gideon was talking about the lighter, you'll be lit for each world. It's so true. You need power for each world. And in the world of the economic war front, you need power. Now let's check the covenant. Every power you draw on this account is on the basis of the fact that you are a relative of Abraham and you have legitimacy to draw upon the covenant that was established, the agreement that was established between God and Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 12. Let's look upon it quickly. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Now, in a covenant, there are two parties. In a covenant, there are two sides. And these two sides have obligations to perform. Now, the thing about the covenant is the other guy has what you need, and you have what the other guy needs. And so you people come into an agreement that binds both of you together. And that agreement, if it is a blood covenant, it's a covenant that will exist as long as you live in the flesh. Just like marriage. Marriage is a blood covenant. So it's as long as you live in the flesh. Hallelujah. And so, the requirement was that Abraham was supposed to leave everything that he knew. His family, the civilization that he was used to, his kindred, and their philosophies. And he was going to go all the way with God to a place without an address. He will have to depend on God for God to lead him to the place where he will find the enlargement. Hallelujah. That was Abraham's requirement. And God, in keeping with Abraham's response, will bless him. Will curse him that curseth him. And will guarantee that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. That means that when God was interacting with Abraham, if you come from a family in this earth, you were also part and parcel of the target audience captured in this covenant before Abraham received the covenant from God. Now, when we talk about blessing, there is only one basis upon which a man can be blessed. The only basis upon which a man can be blessed is that covenant that God established with Abraham. God has no other plan outside of that covenant to bring blessing to any life whatsoever. Are you with me? Now, so we have to understand the terms and the conditions of this covenant in order for us to actually inherit it and function in it to the end that we can be endued with the power that is required for us to get to it. So every family was included in this contract. So if we talk blessing, there's no blessing for you. Every blessing was willed to Abraham. And the extent to which we become blessed, the degree to which we realize blessing, is as a result of our relationship with Abraham. So God willed blessings on earth to Abraham. Is that clear? Alright. Now, I would like to show you, because we are going to the court of law. You see, even though the Bible says, indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what God was doing with Abraham, he had all the families of the earth in mind. But there's a permutation that includes you into that agreement that he had with Abraham, even though you were not physically present. Hallelujah. And so God intended to reach the family of the earth. Now, if you read the covenant of Moses, the covenant of Moses had only Israel in view. But this covenant of Abraham had the entire race of men in view. And when Jesus showed up, Jesus did not show up through the covenant of Moses. Because if Jesus had shown up through the agreement that God had with Moses, only Israelites would have been saved. Jesus showed up on the ground of the covenant of Abraham. It's on the strength of this covenant that is called the Son of Abraham. Now, the title deed, the interaction, the reality, the legal procedure to become part of Abraham's fold, and by extension, a heir of this particular covenant, is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. So Galatians chapter 3 is the legal procedure to become part of this covenant. And we need to establish it this way before we understand the power that is in the covenant. Hallelujah. Now, there are a few chapters of the book of Genesis that we may need to look upon for you to see how Abraham walked in that covenant, the requirements of that covenant. Because if we have inherited the covenant and we refuse to do the works of Abraham, then we are actually deceiving ourselves. Now, but let's do Galatians chapter 3. I would like the microphone to be passed on to a good reader. If we do Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Amen. Oh my, are you with me? Now please, can you read into the microphone so that we
Galatians can... chapter
3 from verse 13.
Okay. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith.
Okay, you are in verse 13.
13 and 14.
Okay, can you go back to verse 7 and read from there?
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
Okay, stop there. Now, so, Abraham has biological children. But unfortunately for his biological children, the fact that you are his biological child doesn't necessarily mean that you have accessed what he did in order for him to become blessed. The way Abraham walked with God was by faith. Right? The way Abraham walked with God was by faith. That was how Abraham entered into this deal with God, because it was a strange kind of covenant. He was cutting covenant with a spirit being that had no body, no flesh, no body. So it was on the strength of his interaction with God by faith that he earned that title, the father of faith. And everyone that is going to be continuing the genealogy of faith will have to exercise faith in aligning, in securing his relationship with God. And in this covenant, it happens to be that it will be by faith that you can align with God. The provisions that grace makes available can only be appropriated by faith. Is that act of faith in Jesus' sacrifice, is that act of faith in Jesus' immortality that is responsible for our regeneration. It was an act of faith. Hallelujah. Just like you, when you want to get married, and you know inside of you, there is a witness of the Holy Spirit inside that this is the person. And I want you to understand that the person is a human being. And even after you have received that witness, you will see some things about the person that you don't like. But you see, we have gone beyond liking and not liking. We have gone to a point of witness inside of the Spirit. Alright? It's on the strength of that witness that we move. And that witness inside is not an antidote to seeing wrong things. May the Lord give you understanding. Alright, so when we come to the altar, that which you have already conceived in your heart, you have come to make it public. You know, there is a heart-mouth interaction in order for faith to achieve its objective. Alright, so you came to, in public light, in the presence of God, to make your confession that this is the perception I have inside. And then we now bring the blessings of God upon your confession. And it is established. Because that's how things are established in the realm of faith. You believe them in your heart and you make proclamation concerning them from your mouth, and then it becomes real in the realm of the Spirit. God considers it done and he puts his stamp upon it. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. So we will have to identify with God by faith. And that's why God is hidden away in the spirit realm. And you can only access him by faith. But in doing so, what has happened to you is that you have lined up. You have become a bona fide child of Abraham. Because you stumbled upon God the same way he interacted with God. The same way he found God and knew God and walked with God until God became his friend. So he became the friend of God because he understood that this God is not a God that you will serve by aligning idols together, even though Abraham's family, from where he came from, were the family that were dedicated to priesthood. So he understands priesthood. He knows the place of an idol in interacting with a spiritual being. But he was not, there was no idol. There was nothing in the natural to depict God, and he could walk with God. And so everyone that will walk with God according to the pattern that Abraham has revealed is actually a spiritual son and daughter of Abraham. So it starts with faith. That means everyone here that is born again is actually logically calculated to be part of Abraham's genealogy. And when God took Abraham to look upon the stars and the sand on the seashore, and he told him that his descendants will be like this, actually what God had in mind and the reality of that experience was that everyone that comes to God by faith will actually be counted as one of his, and that was a mystery that God was trying to make him understand when he took him to the seashore. He said, your descendants will be like this. Okay, now we have come into the covenant. Hey, are you still with the microphone? We are coming to the covenant. We are children of faith. We have bona fide access to that covenant. We can take advantage of it. But I want to bring out something quickly. Because every covenant has an essence. There is a spirit that watches over every covenant. There is a spirit that is the reality of every covenant. And so the difference between walking in the Mosaic covenant and walking in this covenant that Christ has brought us into is one thing and one thing only, is the Spirit. Hallelujah. In the Mosaic covenant, the Spirit was not there to help the people. But the laws that came, the prophecies that were uttered, they were from God. But there was no assistance. The Spirit was not there to help the people. So there was a law from heaven given to mortal men that did not have the ability to fulfill it. And their life was a frustration. But in this new covenant, we have a covenant that gives us access to an animator. He animates us, makes it possible for us to keep the laws of God. And if you read very critically, carefully, in Galatians chapter 3, from verse 14, the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse unto us, as it is written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Listen to me. The curse of the law was a requirement in the law for sacrifice. And if we, every time you lie, you have to go to North Bank and buy a goat and sacrifice. When your salary doesn't come, but the lies are still flowing, you will not be allowed into the sanctuary. Because there will be a lot of backlog of lies that need to be atoned for, and all kinds of stuff. Even if you have the money and you are sacrificing, you need a ranch. You need a ranch to cleanse you, your wife, and your children. And when you have exhausted the last calf in that ranch, there will still be something left to sacrifice for. And that was a curse in itself. And Christ came and redeemed us from that curse. The curse where we came to him by faith. The template has changed. The template has shifted. Now you see, the essence of this covenant is the Spirit of God that was promised us. Are you with me? Now, so there's an enablement that we have in this matter. Alright? I say, alright. Now listen. Oh my. Abraham. One of the things he had to learn was how to be led by God. And so he was told to leave his father's house, leave where he knew, to go to a place that he did not know. He had to learn how to be led by God. And every time he disobeyed God, strange things happened. God set him on his journey. And when he arrived Haran, he decided to camp. Probably the father was, you know, trying to make him understand the implication of his trip logically. And they were doing all of that debate in Haran. And God had to kill the father. Now, every time he disobeyed God, something terrible happened. So he knew that it was not wise to disobey God. So he was ready to walk with God. And there were so many terrible experiences that happened to him on the account of disobedience. And he learned by experience how to walk with God. Hallelujah. It was a spirit-based covenant. He had to follow the leading of his spirit. He had to keep pace with the instructions he received. And his life evolved with great power to get wealth. And so in this covenant, being led by the Holy Spirit is not an option. Now, I need to say something quickly. Quickly. Then I close this study so that I can continue from where I stopped yesterday. Hallelujah. Being led by the Holy Ghost. Being led by the Spirit. Let me give you a story. Small story. Short story. God spoke to me when I finished youth service. I was in fasting. I was in prayers. I was fasting and praying to find out the direction that the Holy Spirit will have me walk in. Now, a man, a woman that is not conscious, careful about the direction that the Holy Spirit will have him walk in, cannot by any means have power to get. It's already available. But the only problem that you need a tool with which to access it and to get it. If you want to catch fish, you need a hook. If you want to harvest rice, you need sickle. To get this one is obedience. Obedience to a spirit. And so I went and I was praying, fasting, calling upon the Lord. I don't know how many hours we prayed that day, but God decided to answer me that day. That's the first time in my life I set out to fast, and God answered my petition the first day of my fast. Hallelujah. And God spoke to me. He said, you will not go into full-time ministry now. I will give you a job. You will invest in many destinies, and a great network shall be formed. That's how it is in my diary. My diary of 2000 and something. Hallelujah. So I rose up and I went to my mother. I told her, the Lord said I should go back to Kano, where I did my youth service. Say, I have not finished. That I finished service, but I did not finish his assignment. I should go back to Kano. And right there in Kano, I had a few disciples I was doing Bible study with, and we're praying together. And the band of disciples began to multiply, and people began to come from different places. So I do the teaching, and we do prayers together. So that was what I was doing, basically, throughout my youth service year. And I went back home, and God said I should go back there and continue that task. When I told my mom, she did not like the idea, because her husband just died, and she was still in mourning. And then her last son is saying she wants to go into religious crisis in Kano. I said, I'm not sending myself. I don't like the Kano myself, but the great one. However, if you doubt my words, you can stay for a few days. He will come to you. And the way he came was, I threatened her that if you don't allow the young man go, you will join your husband. And she was not in a hurry to join the husband, so she now allowed the young man to go back to Kano. So when I came back to Kano, I was doing what he did. He said I should do. The disciples, and meanwhile, when I got there, I met the disciples fasting. And they said they will not stop the fast until God brings that youth copper back. So that fasting and prayer went to heaven, and I wouldn't have prospered anywhere that I'd gone to aside Kano. So when I came back, I now realized why the angels besieged my mother and threatened her quietly. Although it took many years before she revealed the reason for her decision. But I took off and I went back to Kano. Now, when I went back to Kano and I was there for another 1 year, 4 months, God began to give me more insight. See, all of us sitting here, you will go to a land that he will show you. He will never give you the address. The name of the land, the name of the procedure, the pathway to that land is obedience. My life at that time was now dependent upon what he will show me. I had no clues. I had no idea of how it would turn out. Are you with me? Now, do not, if you are here, do not trivialize the need to secure wisdom from the mouth of the Holy Spirit. Do not trivialize it. Every crisis you pass through in life is going to be as a result of the fact that you neglected the voice of God. Every wrong choice that you make that results in greater affliction will be because you ignored the voice of the Holy Ghost. Now, I was not waiting for God to speak to me. I was fasting and chasing God. Yes, I was not lying down and saying, whenever he wants me. No, you will wait, you will lie there for till you are old. So, I decided to chase him with prayers and fasting. And when I went back to Kano, I still stayed without food for a long time. Hallelujah. Because I was setting up the coordinates for my journey in life. And I needed clarity. Meanwhile, I was not one of the prophetic people that, I was not a gifted person. Then, huh?
I was not a gifted person, so I had no advantage from the average believer. Today you look at me, you think it's easy for me to hear God. It's easy for me to minister to you today and see things. But if I'm asking God about my own, it's still as hard as it used to be. Oh, you are not here. Many of you have said, God, if only I had the kind of... It's not different. If I'm asking for my own, it is as hard as your own. But you see, wise men know that it is not a burden to seek God. It's actually a burden for you to do something outside of the will of God. You will pay the price all through your life. And it will not be ministry. It will be burden. You know, when you are suffering because you are in the will of God doing ministry, there's always grace to, you know, inside of your spirit, you feel ventilation. But if you are suffering because you miss the voice of God, that's a burden. Meanwhile, in each case, he will always say, my grace is what? But you know that you are on that path because your ear, we are not wise enough to incline your ear. Now, so God began to give insight. I prayed more. Then I saw. Hallelujah. That was when I discovered that I was not supposed to run a church. Yes, you now say you are sending me to Benue State. I knew that he told me that on the 20th of October 2002. I'm sending you to Benue State to be the place of your primary assignment. Oh, wonderful. Hallelujah. Then you have to press further to find out what kind of ministry. And when I pressed further, he said, what he said was not, I didn't like it. Because I was trained in a church setting. I understand church administration. Even politics, church politics too, I understand it. So you now think that, okay, what you now do is what you know. It's a land that what? He will show you. Hallelujah. So I found out that it was not a church-based kind of stuff. Then God now referred me to my disciples. What was I doing with them? I was teaching them and we walked, pray together. That, he said, that's what you will do. He said, it's nothing new from what you have been doing. You have been following the path. Now, when you find somebody looking for something new in my life, you just realize that you will be in limbo. Because the things that God used to use you to do before, that's still what you will be doing. There's nothing new there. People looking for next level, new dimension, new things, you will find yourself in a place and you'll be alone. He said, that thing that I brought you back from your people, I brought you back to a crisis-prone zone to come and do that thing. That thing is important to me. Disciple people and teach them how to pray. Then I went somewhere, it was in a meeting. Your pastor was preaching and preaching and preaching, and he pointed me and said, you were not called to raise a denomination. You were not called to raise. And he almost cried, saying that. I said, God, I don't hear now. I hear. The man didn't stop. Even though I had heard, the man didn't stop. The man cried. Hey. He now entered. So that one now confirmed the fact that. All right. So I was getting details, little details. And eventually, when I was now posted here by my office, and I asked God, is this the time you say I will come? He said, yes. It's okay. I should go and hold meeting. He said, you will fast for 1 year plus 100 days. 1 year plus what? And that was what we did. We fasted and prayed for 1 year. And when we wanted to escape after 1 year to go and start a meeting in January, we had to add 100 days. That's what made our first birthday that time in March. When there is heat, nobody wants to hold meeting that time. That was the time. You say, you are not ready in the heat. Oh my. Just follow it. Guess what? When I began to obey the instructions, he gave me a job. He said, I will give you a job. So I started obeying the instructions. He now gave me a job. I couldn't. Now, all my friends going into ministry say, full time. He told me that you will not go into full-time ministry now. I will give you what? A job. I can show you my diary. And you'll see the thing I wrote and I signed on it. So he now gave me a job that I did not apply for. It is on the strength of that job that I was posted to the Makodi, which is my own constituency in the spirit. Hallelujah. I didn't lobby for it. A lot of people were lobbying for different places. I was just sitting there, and the day the list came out, my name was on Makodi. I said, okay, here we go. That means God was actually putting me in the place he wanted me to be through that job. Are you with me? So I came here, met all the brethren, Chief Don, Shala. I think Shala is the oldest person I've known in this hall. Yeah. Hallelujah. He used to be afraid of me those days when we were on campus. Hallelujah. So I went to look for him. We started praying. The same things I did in Kano. Prayer and teaching. Prayer and teaching. In a very hidden place. But that's how people started coming. And my disciple in Abuja, who is Shala's wife today, my colleague that we were sent to the depot here, will go to Texaco, collect 100 liters of fuel and threaten them. Go to Tota, 100 liters. So she doesn't buy fuel. She just go and bone up. They'll fix it, put the fuel. One day she woke up, her right hand was paralyzed. All the fuel, where they go, carry. They sent something. This hand could not work again. The hand was like this. So they had to move her away. So I was alone. Then I asked, who do you want? I said, I bring my disciple. So the person answered, so that you'll be doing evangelism. I said, that may be part of it. Meanwhile, when she came, she now said, why did I make them bring her here? I said, I didn't answer. When they were close to wedding, I said, I have the answer now. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Just following him. Receiving instructions. Obeying. And he begins to open things up. Hallelujah. For you see, my mother is a businesswoman. So if he's selling something to get money, I have known it from time. But they say I should never sell anything until his house is built. Huh? This place. So the money I would have used to pay bride price, it was in the bank. He said I should go and gather it for this land. Somebody else also gave as much as I did give, and this land was bought. I did not know how I will marry my wife because the money I kept, he said I should go and take it. Hallelujah. Use it to buy land. Then, 1 million was big money. I had 1 million for wedding because I know nobody will support me because my wife is not my tribe. My family won't tell you that don't go out to marry another tribe. But if you go, you are alone. So I'm aware of that. So I prepared. I prepared for it so much. And then I haven't prepared. Baba now comes and says, that money you kept, this land is very important. We bought the land. No money for the wedding. He provided for that. Hallelujah. And we kept on going. After we built the house, he now said, okay, you now, I'll build you a house. And they paid us an allowance that was not in the budget. All right. She knows what I'm talking about. That was how I built that house. And I struggled to build it. Amen. But it was built at the end of the day. A season will come. It's okay now. You can do this. You can do that. You can do that. He will say, you can do it now. No money. Because he has said it, the money will come. He will not bring the money first. He will tell you what to do first. So you will know what to do in your heart. And then once you know what to do, he will now bring the money. If you don't know what to do in your heart, the money will still come. But you will use it and you will not be able to account for it. And it is only in the area that he directs you that you can do the thing and it will be established. If you use a good idea to start something, demons will blow on it. When you are about to break into lamplight, you will fall off. Because there is no instruction behind. No spirit gave you the directive. Are you with me? Now, you also need to understand, if we all here are led by the Spirit, not everybody will do business eventually. Not everybody will start a business to bring money. Some people's destiny and what God will lead them to do is to somebody's own prosperity is attached to his following somebody. Yes. As long as he's following that person, he will prosper. I am a pioneer. I have the grace to start things from God. I have that grace from God. Not everybody is like me. Some people are managers. And some people have grace to start things. They don't have grace to manage it. So you may be the one that has the grace to manage it. But because you two are trying to compete with the person that has grace to start things, you want to start, and there's no supply will come in the area of starting things. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some is in their followership that they prosper. But all of us must prosper because we have a covenant that guarantees it. But you have to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit and you prosper. Do you understand that? And so when we talk about this covenant, it has a lot to do with leading, getting leadings from God. 13 years ago, my wife had a vision of a school. I think when we were still in courtship, she told me about the school. Yeah. All right, no problem. But I had not seen the school. I think we were how many years into marriage before I saw it? I said, okay, that your school is true. But we don't have money. And when the time came, God gave me an instruction. Start building now. And I started building. And then the economy, everything started getting hard. As it was going hard, money was coming. We finished the first phase. I said, Lord, we'll give you glory. Then all the money has finished. For me to recover now is hard. But you know what? When it's time to start the second block, money will come. Because I did not start the project because I wanted to start a project. God was the one that gave the insight about the project. And I was patient for me to know the timing for the project. Now, some of you have God-ordained directives, but you were not patient enough to wait for timing. And you took off like a tornado. Meanwhile, the Bible says it is not by power. It is not by what? Might. You cannot begin something in the spirit and finish it in the flesh. You wait for timing. Yes, that's how Abraham's life was. His life was unpredictable as it was because he was following the leadership of his spirit. A friend of mine did something with Nigerian Universities Commission and he had $100,000. Yes, that was what they paid into his domiciliary account, $100,000. And while he slept, an old man appeared to him and said, don't spend the dollars, spend the naira. Please help me tell your neighbor, don't spend the dollars. Spend the naira. Now this guy rose up and started spending the dollars. And then when he finished spending the dollars, dollar now went up. If that guy had that dollar till now, he would have made how much? How much did we calculate that day? Engineer? 45 million. He would have had 45 million now. Because he did not follow an instruction. God knows the end from the beginning. And he will tell you something now that looks like foolishness now. And then if you refuse to obey it, you will miss the things. He would have had 45 million now. He is struggling to build a house in just. The house is long overdue. But if he had followed that instruction, he would have built, painted, and started that outfit long time ago. The old man came and said, what? Don't spend the dollars. That's how it comes. A land that I will show you, you will be shown. Nobody is an expert in prosperity. It's only the Holy Ghost. He will show you. Those people preaching prosperity, they have not been prospered. You are preaching prosperity, you have not taught people how to hear God. That thing is a lie. Forget about it. I don't have time. I don't have time to show you how treacherous all that stuff is. You are not raising people that have the capacity to hear God and to obey Him. And then you say you are a prosperity church. What prosperity is that? I see people frustrated. The Lord will help us. I speak in parables. That's how it is. That's easy as that. Walking with the Holy Ghost by faith. That's what it is. Walking with the Holy Ghost by faith. Now, before I shift to the message I have in Acts of the Apostles, if you are here and God has given you a directive, you see, most directives from God are strange. Okay, you can say, oh yeah, go and learn tailoring. You will now look at yourself and say, I have a master's degree. Then I will now go and what? You are bigger than the visions. You are bigger than leading. And it will be that your pride that will be responsible for your stagnation. In this covenant, Abraham gave us the example of how he walked in that covenant. He walked in the covenant by faith, following the leadership of a spirit that was not visible. There were many instructions God gave Abraham that were crazy, but he followed them. Anybody that God has given you a strange instruction does not look wise. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now you must be sure it's God, not you. And because in this school, in the school of prosperity, are you with me? In the school of prosperity, you don't walk by assumption. If God speaks to you and you are not sure, if you keep pressing, He will confirm it. He will even surprise you in the service like this. He will just touch the preacher. If He's confirming, God doesn't have a problem assuring you and confirming you about what He wants you to do. But we don't guess here. If it's prosperity, we don't guess. All right, so let's go again. You have a leading. Now, God can give you skills. Are you with me? Give you skills. You know how to do stuff and all of that. But He will now tell you how He wants you to do it. You know why the way He will do it will be such that it will be clear to you that He's the one that giveth what? Power to what? To get wealth. Now, the other day, somebody came to me. Somebody I respect very well. He came to me and he said, these are the skills I have. I can do this, I can do this. But God just spoke to me that I will not set out on my own. This person has skills, right? But he had an instruction on how to set out. That he will not set out on his own. This is what God has said. Huh? Now, if because you have a skill, you now say, okay, it translates to you setting out. And your setting out was inconsistent with leading. You will not prosper. God, with all your skills, God may say, oh yeah, go and stay under somebody. Are you with me? And while you are under that person, you will what? Prosper. Nobody here should be poor. And the way out is, God will lead. If you are praying for direction, that's a good place to start. But nobody should sit down and say, no, God will lead you. And the fact that He has given you an idea, don't go yet. Find out how to implement it. Just like He told me about ministry in Makodi, I had to find out what kind of ministry. Meanwhile, I was not looking and was not hoping to pioneer a ministry. The problems are too much. I was praying that God will show me a ministry to go and serve under. But He said, no, that's not your destiny. You will pioneer. God in heaven knows that my move to pioneer was not because of one pride or... No, He knows that. Meanwhile, as I'm here today, God said, okay, hand over to Chief Don, move on. I will do it because I've been following Him for years. I know how He leads. Most times when He gives you a direction and it doesn't make sense, the enlargement in it is heavy. That's why it doesn't make sense. So if you have self and pride and ego issues, you will not be able to follow through with the Holy Ghost. In ministry, I've seen a lot of people that are not supposed to be pioneering ministry. Starting any ministry. They're supposed to work on that people and develop the humility that is required to remain where they have been placed. Huh? But they take off like a tornado. And you know the people I pity? The people that become their members. He doesn't have He doesn't have license from heaven to start any ministry outfit. Alright? So he's doing it because he feels that his mates in school are doing ministry and they are doing well. So, meanwhile, when we were in school, I was better than these guys. He has gone into comparison. And he wants to use that in ministry. You'll find out that he will pray and fast for 100 days. His prayer will be bringing sickness. After he finishes 100 days of prayer, it's sickness. Because it's not in alignment. Don't try to be like anybody. Make sure you receive instruction for your life. Are you with me? Instruction. If God has said it, God will provide money for you to do it. But don't jump into doing anything until you get details about it. Exactly. Abraham had details about his journey. He had details about it. Don't just jump and say, okay, we'll look for funds and all that, so that, okay, we can keep body and soul together. No. The process of walking with God and hearing Him and obeying Him will be building your spirit too. It's not just giving you money in your hand. It will be building your spirit. It will make you speak to God. A man that prospers by the power to get wealth will run away from God. He will not be too busy for God. He will be available for God because that's his lifeline. But when you find someone that is prospering and is not, he can come to church and be giving testimony that God has helped him, but he's not available for God. It's not God that prospered him. If God prospers you, we know the source from whence you got the power to get wealth. Listen to me. I know there's famine in the city, but I have settled it with God. People will prosper here. It's done. But you need to pay the price to hear God for yourself. I won't hear God for you. Maybe if you are asking God for confirmation, maybe God may be gracious in one of our meetings, and through the gift of prophecy or something, He can confirm that. That is possible. As the Lord wills, actually. Eh? That's possible. You understand? But for you to stay, oh my. There is no believer that God, you can get the best of God without going close to God, without knowing God, without knowing how to hear God. If that's the kind of Christianity you have been practicing, you have been shortchanging yourself. You're pressing to Him. You know Him. Know His instructions. Sometimes He might be saying, wait. And then you begin to say, hey, no, don't be moved. Just be okay. Be okay. Trust Him. Trust Him. He has a plan for you. Hallelujah. A young man married a lady, was so terrible to the lady, left the lady, married another person, had children with this lady. Are you with me? And she was trying to raise the children alone and all of that. For 20 years, this woman kept cursing that man. And you know the curses will actually work. She now met a pastor. The pastor preached to her 20 years later, asked her to forgive. The day she forgave, the man died. For 20 years she was cursing. The man was becoming more robust. The year she did what? Forgave. The man died. Now listen. Are you with me? She wasted 20 years. She would have forgiven. And her situation of pressure, every pressure you experience is supposed to lead you to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayers and supplication, coupled with what? Thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The problem was intended to drive you to God. It's a setup for God's sake. There's no form of human infirmity that God does not have an answer for. And God will solve all of man's problems in only one way and one way only. He will show you more insight about that His Son called Jesus. That's how He solves all of man's problems. When you begin to press into God, and your problem is bitterness, and you keep pressing, you will touch a part of God that is a fountain of love and compassion. It will be easy, natural for you to forgive. You will now see God in that context as the fountain of love and the fountain of compassion. It was Paul that said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Everything that constitutes your infirmity has an answer in the Lord. And crisis is intended by God to be a catalyst that will drive you to God. And then that's when you will see a woman with three children without any support from a husband. How the great monarch of Zion will lead that life. All right? Lead that life through instructions, through, oh my God. And all those children will not be disadvantaged in any way because they have a mother who has an ear to hear the voice of God. He will lead you through any kind of storm. And then you'll become more secure than people that had husbands. That is if God decided that you will stay alone after that crisis. If you can still hear God, you are okay. You know what? For God, he is never too late. The immortal doesn't dwell in time. He doesn't need eternity to do that which is eternal. There is no way we can say we are operating the same covenant that Abraham operated when our ability to access the mind of God and to obey him is in doubt. I don't want to press further. That's the first thing about prosperity, about that covenant. It's a covenant of faith. It's a covenant of spirit and a covenant of obedience. And he will keep leading you to the land. Keep leading you where? To the land. At some point, if you have been obeying consistently for a while, you begin to see that things will start becoming better gradually. It will never be instantaneous. It takes a process. Gradually. So that at every point in time, when he leads you on into another layer of pasture, you will know the dealings you received in order for you to come into that layer of pasture, and then you master it. Because you are looking for money. He wants to mature you in the image of his son. And his dealings with you guarantee that dimension. When you see a man that is a billionaire, but his spirit is lean and hungry, it's not God that led him. I met one billionaire. He had 38 billion. 38 billion. In Lagos. In our meeting in Lagos, they brought one man to me. After preaching for morning session, brought this man. I said, I greeted him. He had 38 billion naira. They were the one. Oh my. He lost all 38 billion. And he was coming to prophets so that prophets will pray. So that the money will come. But I could not tell him. After shaking him, I knew that that money will never come back, even to his grandchild. So, you know, sometimes you just say, it is well. When you hear, you have to package your response very well, because the guy was really depressed. But you know what? Leading of Jesus, leading of the Lord. Allow him to lead you. He can take you out of any situation. Yes, for a season, there might be some form of pressure. But even in that pressure, he will make sure that the pressure will not crush you. All right, then he will lead you. And he will begin to bring you to a large place. And when he begins to bring you into the large place, that's what the prophet was talking about. When you start becoming enlarged, do not forget. When you are fat, don't forget. Remember. But there's a tendency to forget the one that led you through the wilderness when you have entered into the large place, Rehoboth, when there is room. Some things are no longer your prayer point. You have seen the faithfulness of God in those areas. And you cannot say, Ebenezer. That's when we miss it. Ebenezer. He now has a deep voice now. Cruising around. He says, Ebenezer. It's not Ebenezer time that Baba is saying, remember that it's him that gave you what? Power to get one. These guys are wasting their time. This guy. It's just rubbish. Now, I mean it with all my heart that is rubbish. The only valid procedure for prosperity according to scripture says seek ye first the kingdom. That means you will be engrossed with what? Doing the will of God. I want to find out what is topmost on God's heart. What I can do to, you know, be resourceful in His kingdom. And that's what I spend my life on. So as I'm doing what God wants done, He does what I need to keep going, keep surviving. It's a partnership. It's a covenant. Someone is claiming that he is receiving teachings on prosperity, and they are not teaching him how to be committed to God. It's only a native doctor that gives you prescriptions on how to make money. He doesn't tell you what to do with it. Only a native doctor. How I wish Khan were stronger. That Khan had the stature to call ministers. I will have questions. Don't deceive yourself and say one prosper. You will hear Baba, and pastor won't hear for you. You will learn how to obey God. When there's drought everywhere, you will be flourishing. Because the pathway that the Holy Spirit will take you through, there is no drought there. There's no drought there. He sustained the prophet by a pool. A little creek. That was what he was drinking. And he brought him bread and meat, morning and evening. Hallelujah. The brook dried up. He gave him another instruction. Because he will give you one instruction now. You can be running on that instruction and prospering on that instruction. And suddenly he said, yeah, move now. Because he knows that this one, the lifespan of this instruction is coming to an end. Move now. So if you begin to depend on the brook, instead of depending on the Holy Ghost, you will meet the drought. Move now. Move now. I don't have time to tell you step-by-step interventions that came to support me when my dad died. Step-by-step intervention. Step-by-step intervention. Step-by-step. Step-by-step. He gave direction for every phase of life. He gave emphasis for every phase of life. This is how you'll go. And this is what you'll be doing. Every phase of life. To a land that I will show you. May God open our eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ. May He open our eyes. In Jesus' mighty name. The instruction that may come to some people is, you keep following. Follow this path. And you know what? If your own instruction is to follow, the temptations and the attacks you have from the devil is that don't follow. So when you know that your destiny is tied to followership, you need to sharpen yourself in the area of humility. Because humility is going to be something that will fight out your destiny. And it's God that determines how it will be, not you. Hallelujah. It's God that what? Determines. And once you are following Him, the dealings within the context of His leadership over your life have been designed to ensure that you prosper. Because the covenant is seek first. He will sustain you. You will survive. He will keep you. He will make it work for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I've seen the devil once and again. He comes to attack. The last attack we had was people driving in my car somewhere had an accident. Okay, when they had the accident, nobody died. Took them to the hospital. The things they predicted, I was wrong with them. They came the next day. It was not so. The people, even if you see them now, you don't even know they had that accident. Hallelujah. And you know what I told you the other time? The thing that is not important is the one that we go. The vehicle was not, it's expendable. But the people inside, the purpose that they represent, and they were on track with the purpose, they had to be preserved. Some accidents, the reason why people don't die is because they are in sync with the last instruction. Come out. And I've seen him faithful from place to place. From place to place. Even in the anointing, I've seen it grow. Just doing my teaching and leading people to pray as instructed. Doing the teaching, lead people to pray. And then I'm seeing the anointing grow. Hallelujah. This year, I was on the same platform with my father in the Lord. They invited him, they invited me. This year, I was on the same platform with Billy. They invited him, they invited me. We were. This year, all right? Just teaching the Bible and leading prayer. Just teaching the Bible, leading prayer, discipling, telling people the truth. Hallelujah. I think that's the greatest privilege God has given me, that platform that I preach. Because that's Nigeria. People from different places. Young people, which is my target audience. Jesus. I almost busted. Hallelujah. So much. The grace that came down, I was afraid. See, Lord, in leading you, it's not just leading you to make money. Leading you, you are growing in the spirit. You are more effective to dispatch your assignment in ministry. And all kind, it's an all-round arrangement for God's sake. You might say, okay, what you want is to prosper. The assignment he will give you doesn't have anything to do with money. For 4 years. Jesus. he said, you will remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth the power to what? Now I'm out of time. So I can't go to the other scripture. But let me read the scripture. Now, did you get this one? The next time I come, when we do Bible study, I will begin to tell you about prosperity, how to prosper. But this is the golden rule. A man that is not ready to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit will never arrive. Never arrive that land that God is taking you. Prosperity is more spiritual than you think. When you go to the shrine, that's when they tell you the price for prosperity. You understand that it's a spiritual thing. Yes, the wealth of nations. They are. The wealth of nations. There are spirits in darkness that claim that money is theirs. You will need something stronger than that spirit to have money without problem. Because the blessing of the Lord, it does what? It makes rich and is also protective and insulative in nature. I will show you next time. We'll talk about prosperity. The Bible way, not philosophy way, not by the way of this world. Okay. Let me do 5 minutes teaching again on the subject. You know, yesterday we began. And what we're actually looking at was the rise of a revival. And during the seasons of a revival, God does several sovereign things. Are you with me? Several sovereign things. And one of the sovereign things that he does is that he summons an ingathering. The testimonies you heard yesterday were proofs that there was an ingathering that was ongoing in this particular territory. And there was something mighty that God wanted to bring into this territory. And so he has begun to orchestrate an ingathering. You heard Onyinye's testimony. It cannot be more supernatural than that. Doing business in Port Harcourt. Doing very well in business. And suddenly, her peace left. All kinds of prayers. All kinds of fasting. All kinds of stuff. And all that it was about was that God was asking her to relocate the place where she had established and to come here and be part of what God wants to do. She wasn't looking for money. And I have confirmed that it is true that God sent her. You need to see the way she was praying this afternoon. And I've been noticing her like that, so focused. It's an ingathering that God is orchestrating. What will you say about Brother Jude? Right there in Abuja. Him and his wife. They had 2 pharmacies. Doing well. Had a car. All kinds of stuff. And the great one now comes again. The great one now comes. Dislocates them from their comfort zone. To bring them into the territory. That's the first thing that happened. That's what happened in Antioch. Men like Agabus, they had to leave Jerusalem. Because God was moving his headquarters from Jerusalem to Antioch. And ranking men, personalities and functionaries in the kingdom had to move. Because the place had changed. God had to dislocate people from the establishment that they have gained in other territories. Because he's zooming into a particular territory to give birth to something that will affect nations and generations. And what God is about to bring to pass is bigger than any business that they had to leave in order to come here. I know the kind of pains that was involved, but in the eyes of God, it was worth every sacrifice. So the first thing that happens is, you see, the sovereign work that orchestrates an ingathering. Second thing, Acts 13. The cloud is gathering over the territory. The cloud is gathering. And I tell you the truth, listen to me. If the 13th they fix, they appoint to continue from where the troublesome one left off. If the 13th, if they make mistake and then politicize it, that man will not live for more than 5 years on that room. If they politicize it and put someone that God has not chosen, he will not survive more than five years from today. They'll be looking for another 30. Because an ingrate, this time in the annals of eternity has been chosen that God is coming into the territory and he will wipe everything that doesn't look like him. He has brought witnesses from different lands that will partake us of the allotment that he has opened up by his spirit. And something sovereign is about to happen. It will affect government. It will affect church. It will affect the land. It will affect it. It will affect the economy of this land. Hallelujah. Oh my. You know this food basket thing, you don't know the meaning yet. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. I've seen it. Companies, all kinds of things will be established here. There is going to be an economic boom to power the spiritual thing that will be happening here. Yes, and to sell it. To power it. Funds will have to come because from this place, missionary manpower will be dispatched. We need the funds to push them. And God will do something deliberate that will affect. Oh my. Hallelujah. So the first thing you see is an ingathering. The second thing that you see there. Are you with me? In Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas were separated unto the apostolic work. The Jerusalem church lost sight of the vision. An apostolic center is supposed to be a place where people are incubated, discipled, trained, exposed, and released into their unique destiny. It's a sending center. You release them. Some of them are already in their comfort zone. You make them uncomfortable so that they can enter into their unique destiny. Now, an apostolic center prides itself in the number of people that have been harvested and released into their destiny so that the body of Christ within that particular territory can become functional. There are apparatus and infrastructure in place to reach children. There are apparatus and infrastructures in place to reach teenagers. Apparatus and infrastructures in place to reach the youth. Apparatus and infrastructures in place to reach married, young married couples. Every part of society, there are apparatus, infrastructures in place to reach business people, to reach lawyers, to reach. So the entire fabric of the society comes under heavy fire because everyone is developed to be able to embrace and to engage ministry from various stratas and various parts and various levels of society. Hallelujah. Now, so when Paul and Barnabas were released, when they were released into ministry, verse 5 gives us the first account, they moved with a formation. There was a kind of structure, a kind of kingdom advance mechanism that we see in the way they approach ministry. And when they came, they were at Salamis. They preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had John to their minister. That's my scripture for tonight. That's my real scripture. They had what? John as their minister. It's just like I'm going to the east now and I say, okay, Brother Jude, accompany me. So anything I do Okay, if I'm going to pray in the night, I'll wake you up. Hey, stand up. We'll pray together. Now, that the word used for minister, I don't have time to take you into Greek language and all of that. It actually means an apprentice. Right? An apprentice. People that are exposed to the practices of ministry that made the preacher who he is in God. Now, are you with me? Please stay with me. 5 minutes. 5 minutes, okay? Now, you know what ministry is today? You see, a mighty man of God comes into a territory, and the kind of message he preaches is very weak. Very weak. And if an apprentice should take that message as the word of the Lord for that time, there is no possibility for that apprentice to ever become like the man that preached. Meanwhile, the practice of the apostles was that there was room for apprenticeship. If I know how to seek the face of God, do you understand what I'm talking about? I know how to seek the face of God, and I don't teach you how to seek the face of God. If there's something I'm doing that I'm not teaching, I'm not exposing the apprentice to the realities in the layout of ministry. It means I am a wizard. It's only a witch that wants to be better than his child. Only a wizard wants to be the king of the area. Even his child should be suppressed. Everybody should look up to him. That's not the covenant that we have in God. The way the devil will operate after our own generation will be different. So, the people coming after us, our children must understand all we know about God. So that they will be standing on the foundation of our own work to be able to engage their own warfare in their time. The Bible said that they had John as their apprentice. Now, it was Paul and Barnabas that they said, separate unto me, but they carried what? That one was not part of the prophecy. But that's the custom. We need an apprentice. Someone that will inherit our spirit. Someone that will become the heir to the dimensions of things that we have contacted in God. We will show him how we pray. There is nothing that I do that is a secret now. Nothing. Because the way I pray is the way I have taught you how to pray. I don't know how to pray kneeling down. Sorry, I don't know how to pray. That's why you don't see me kneeling down. I was not near my own. I walk in my room and I hear God. You will not know that it's because I walk and pray that most of you walk and pray. You will not know. Yes. In spiritual things, is you follow the example that is on display to you. There's no formula on how to pray. Posture-wise. You understand what I'm talking about? Posture-wise, there's no formula. Now, the older believers like mommy and maybe they, in their time, they used to kneel down. What if I kneel down, we sleep? Me? If I kneel down, we sleep? All right. I don't know how they survived that time anyway. Kneeling down. No, I don't kneel down. I stroll. If you don't judge me well, in the spirit, you think I'm playing. I don't need to shout in prayer for me to go. No. I'll just be doing it small. I can pray in a room, you will sleep. And you will not be disturbed. You will hear my voice. Hallelujah. But I did not arrive there at the beginning. First, I used to shout. Then I now found out that me shouting, it's hard for me to hear God. So I use many styles. I have now found one. That one, you will find your own. I found mine. Hey, are you with me? I found some tricks too that I will show you this night. Some tricks, a few tricks. Because, hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. They had John as what? Their apprentice. So they had capacity building in mind, not just theoretical, practical capacity building. That's what I'm doing to my people. I say, okay, there's a meeting here. Chief Doug, go there. It's not even because I can't go. But they need exposure. If it's only Makodi that you are preaching, you will not know the you will not understand that. Leave Makodi. When you go to Mina, you will now discover that this place is good. Our prayers have opened it up. You go to Mina, you say, praise the Lord. Eh? The congregation will be angry. Then you will now know how to survive there when the heavens are sealed up. They had John as what? Their apprentice. A big man of God came to town the other day. We were driving in, and there was the security detail at the toll gate was wow. I was wondering who was coming. They said, okay, is this pastor coming? Wonderful. And then a senior minister here that I respect a lot was also at the toll gate. I said this is a big one. Took the minister that came in. I guess it was in IBB Square or something. And that minister preached. And then the senior minister in town here said, his message is weak. No, but that's true. That message cannot produce a man like him. So, we don't have the vision of apprenticeship in view in the way the church has been raised for the past 30 years. And that's why somebody like Idahosa will go. There's nobody to come into his office. Meanwhile, you don't need to go before people begin to operate in your own privileges in the realm of the spirit. You should be on ground when people begin to operate in it. I want to speak in parables, but there's no way I can hide it. I have to tell you the truth. The church I was in is new anointing. That was where I was. And the man loved God so much, much more than every member of that church. He was a man of God. So gifted, so graced. You learn English hearing him preach. He was polished, he was beautiful in the grace of God. Hallelujah. And a lot of people were following him. And the day the unfortunate happened that he died, it was obvious that all those people running and following him, they loved the influence his anointing brought. But they did not know what he did to have so much favor with God. The apprenticeship was not there. And all kinds of manipulation, the type that you will not find even in politics, began to take place in the absence of that great general of God. I learned the things I should never do in ministry there. And I'm discovering, I said, okay, so if I'm not there, my essence that will remain on earth are the people I raised, I discipled, people that inherited my spirit. I will not die before I see those people. I will walk with them as my friends. The Bible says that these two people that God uttered prophecy about, when they were going to the field, they took a man called John as what? Apprentice. Should I go on? Okay, let me touch one point. No, we can't touch that one. We'll leave it. I'll continue. I will now show you that the fact that you were selected as an apprentice doesn't mean you become an apostle. You have the part to play to stay on track. I hope you know there were many, many encouragements, many opportunities for Elisha to have stopped following Elijah. And some of the discouragement came from the Elijah himself. To see whether this young man was worthy to become the heir to his spirit. Are you with me? So there was discipleship beyond teaching. Practical discipleship. Exhortation in wisdom. So that upcoming minister will not make the mistakes that the senior minister had made before he found what was relevant. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There was apprenticeship. It was part of the structure of that move of God. So that at every point in time, the things, bad things will be handed down to people that were competent to wield the grace of God over territories and over nations and cities. I will stop there today. But I will continue with this matter. the next time I show up for Bible study, so that we can understand and take full advantage of what is happening. Now, where is my music man? Just strike a chord. Now, I want to show you some things I learned with God. If you will give me 15 minutes, I can show you a few things I learned at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Every one of us here is born again. Christ is in your spirit. Then you are capable of doing what I want to do now. They had John as their apprentice. Now, in my work with God, these are the few things I discovered. You'll not find it in the Bible. This is my own experience with God. Is it okay that I tell you what I found? Now, that's part of the apprenticeship. The apprenticeship are my own personal experiences that I found with God. You are supposed to also inherit those experiences. It is your right in God to inherit it and to function in those corridors. It's your right. Yes, thank God for the grace to teach and to dispense knowledge of the Word of God. Thank God for all of that. But what I owe you is more than that. I also owe you to show you the skills I found in my work with God, so that you too can apply those skills, because you have legitimacy. You have legitimacy to those things that I've discovered because you are spiritually related. It's not just pulling out the Bible and preaching. No. Number one, discovery. Are you still with me? Now, if you are desperate and you need to hear God, what do? I found that if there's a challenge and the devil is on your case, and you know that Satan is on your case, what do you do? Have you ever had any time in your life? No, reduce your volume yet. If not, I go high too much, too quickly. Have you ever had any time in your life and you had a fear of death in your spirit? Fear of death. Anybody had that experience? How do you survive in those times? I found a few things in my work with God. And I wanted to use this opportunity to begin to share them. Not that when we are old, we are not looking for who can take mantle. People should be walking with that mantle everywhere. They should be walking with it. It should not be something that is hidden. It's commonplace. Everybody has access. Everybody functions in it. You might walk in a court, but you have right to a mantle. That's what I'm saying. And that mantle does not respect location. It can walk in the court. It can walk there. Hallelujah. And so let me teach you how to increase the volume of your hearing. I found that. Nobody taught me. In my work with God, I found that. And these things, the people that we learned from, they were desperate to keep it secret. And they never taught us. They said, you want to know? So that when you know, you run away. I don't need to manipulate anybody to keep him to follow. That's what the church failed to do. They never had apprentices that were taught secrets. I used to run away from the crusade ground because I never had an evangelist instruct me. Never. So I don't know how they do what they do. I can't preach for 30 minutes and then the whole field wants to give their life to Christ. How does he do it? Do you understand? Me, I need to do like. But this guy comes on the pulpit and he says, Jesus! As he's, he didn't say anything, but everybody is weeping. You can't go and say the same thing he said and have the result. He is talking from somewhere. If he doesn't tell you how to get there, it might be difficult. So I was afraid of the crusade ground because I had no evangelist close to me. And most of the evangelists I met, they were behaving as like pastors. It's just like, have you ever seen a young goat that is dog that is now living with small goats? The way the goats are, my young dog then was used to jump like goats. I said, jump as much as you can. You are not a goat. So when the evangelist begins to masquerade like a pastor, do it as much as you can. You are still an evangelist. Go to the field and find the lost ones. So I was afraid. I was afraid how to learn some things from the Lord, so that people that are evangelists can know how to unlock the tap And in 30 minutes, the whole field is soaked with conviction. You can take that spirit to court. And as you are talking, it's as if you are joking. But conviction strikes everybody. You leave them. So that they will not say you went and changed court to church. You leave them. And people will come to you personally. There were people in BSU I never preached to. They came to me to lead them to you. Do you know what I found? First thing I found, it's easier for you to pray when there's music. And I saw in scripture how David organized prayer meetings those days. But I don't have time to show you some tricks. There were running shifts. Musicians were running shifts. What David did in his palace was that he made his palace a prayer sanctuary. Yes, that's how he made the palace. There were always incense going to heaven. He made it a sanctuary. It was in those prayer meetings that David got the songs that he sang in the book of Psalms. While in prayers, he begins to gain ascendancy. Alright. You are going to speak in tongues. And while you speak in tongues, remove your mind from you. Alright? Some people's eyes will open now as I'm talking. Remove your mind from you. Place your mind on God. And as if you are expecting God to say something. Now, for those of you that are starting today, close your eyes so that you will be focused. But me, I can open it. I know how to set my heart. So set your heart. Set your heart to know. Set your heart to hear. But begin to speak in tongues. Alright, you can close your eyes so that you will not be distracted. Speak in tongues, but set your heart to know. Set your heart to know. Set your heart to know. I'm not hearing you pray. Set your heart to know. Set your heart to know. Set your heart to know. Zuvala tebe. Babromonza habres kovarahate. Falatos kali hombres of aranasi kapola harakate menzalia. Sevonatia longabari. Seklos kabrene sofre halatula. Antomina branta baboli bakaske. Voletali, voletali, escombra hande, zovenetos, cavaluda, mania, sakendo, esovra hata, munzela, rica mande, roto con varasa matecomba, bahindo, zavri hatambre, hoto cabali, ensolembra, scaponanse, li copala, mande le coria, ico varanande. In the name of Jesus. Listen. When you are in trouble, remove your mind from the trouble. Remove. As long as you think on the trouble will begin to magnify. Just remove your mind from the trouble. Keep it to one side. And look for, control the environment. Look for a tape. Put the song you like very well. Worship. And sit down. Remove your mind from it. Just set your heart on God. And don't be in a hurry. You know, there's one sense of hurry that is in the soul. You can stay for 3 hours there. As long as the sense of hurry is in the soul, you are not there. It's a waste of time. So kill that sense of hurry. And then relax. Remove your mind from the problem. And then begin to speak in tongues. You know what I saw? You will see. If you do that, you will see. So when I finish preaching, I say, okay, let's pray. While you are praying, me, I just. So that's my. Okay, this one we did now, I've seen. I've seen 3 horns come from heaven. 3 horns come from heaven. And they came this way and that way. They did not come this way. 3 horns come from heaven. Now, you see, when you see visions, and you don't, if you are young in the prophetic, you see things, that's spiritual language. You press more, you press a little more, And then the interpretation will come. So three horns came from heaven, representing three people. Three people that God is raising in this season. And God wants to give them authority to function on another level. So there are three horns. We will soon prove whether it is true or not. Now, secondly, I saw, hallelujah, if you can do what I tell you, you will begin, it will be easy for you to hear God. Most times, the reason why you don't hear God is because you are full of self. You are thinking of yourself. It's about you. You will free, you release yourself from the prison of self first. I saw somebody's feet going in one direction. And I now say, what is this? And the Lord began to speak to me that there's somebody present here. You are going the wrong way. He wants you to retrace your steps. You are going the wrong way. You are going the wrong way. That way you have chosen will lead you to more sorrow and more pain. You don't take a decision because of pressure. You will always be wrong. I speak in parables. I don't want to go directly. Hallelujah. You will always see. Except the times when there's silence in heaven. When there's silence in heaven, you can do what I'm telling you now and there will be no result. Because there are times when there's silence in heaven. You begin to trust a method more than God. And then God will now say, okay, see, I'm bigger than this method. So I will shut this method down. It won't work. Then you repent and say, okay. Until it's established in your heart that God is bigger than your method. Okay? Now, while we prayed, if you receive any signal, let me see your hand up. 1, 2. It's very easy. Very easy. All of us, if we had time to do this practical very well, you will see what will happen. Are you with me? That's the first thing I learned. That if I can remove my mind from me, self, my problem, me, my travail, my sickness, the thing bothering me, and I just say, all right, I'm not that important. Yeah, I'm here for you. Where are you? I want to see you. He will, see, if you stay long enough, he will start coming. You know why? He's faithful. He will start coming. Meanwhile, the three people, I don't even know them. Let me ask him to help me identify them. Father, Elemo Sakule Elezia Nahando, Resco Berekuse, Vavanito Cabri Igovasino, Netros Ganso Mingra Abate, Brusca Faranas Kitombre, Governeso Loconda, Icabare no Sacle Presca Faranas Candeliga Barahate. Okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight because of the three horns. The three horns. Three people that you are giving authority to function in that thing that you have called them to do. You are releasing authority. I ask, oh God, that your hand will begin to touch these three people. We want to know these people. Father, help us, help us, help us. Let your hand come upon them. 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 Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Lord, I've seen two of them. I'm waiting for one. 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 I'm waiting. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. I'm waiting for one. I'm waiting for one. I'm waiting for one. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. There's still one. And the person is either here or here. Father, in the name of Jesus, place your hands. 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 Let there be a burning. A burning from heaven. A burning. A burning. A burning. A burning. A burning. A sidabo lama. So, now if it's God, Help me with this. If it's God that speaks, He will confirm it. Okay? He will confirm it. Are you with me? If it's God that speaks, He will confirm it. And it's not about any man. And it's just about God. What He wants to do. And if you have the ability, through the grace of God, to find out what God wants to do. Can I tell you another secret? Okay. Where's Pastor George? George. Okay. Alamonda. So go and lay hands on. Now listen. I wanted to teach you how to fight. How to fight. In the spirit. How to fight. To cut something off from the spirit. But it's obvious we can't do fighting today. To cut, just. But when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall raise what? Now God wants to heal one person now. He wants to heal somebody. He wants to heal somebody. He wants to heal somebody. Zephrida. Zephrila. Ekomba Aratos Kabeneto Kompesa Balatova. Keposanako. Kapresko Verate la Abaratwa. Eskonga Baruas Kabahatama. Etondele Kabaila. Sukebatwa la Harakatama. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Listen. If there's anybody sick here, just put your hand on your stomach. Any kind of sickness whatsoever. Kobela halebo. You feel any kind of thing. Now give a command. And healings will begin to take place. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I ask, O God, as I break the yoke of sickness, I break the yoke of disease, I break the yoke of pain, I command this curse, let this curse be lifted up in the name of Jesus Christ. I command every heavy burden that have been placed on men, placed on women, placed on children that are present here. Oh my God, the bodies are breaking. I command it to break in the name of Jesus. Break in the name of Jesus. I command that pain go in the name of Jesus. Alamo kambeseke monte ekado kozamale elekale. Anda mena konge sali kumbre kesala para konda mida halabateno. Anda boboria kaseta miko pata. I command the pains to go. 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 I command the pains to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, the pains are going. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, some of the pains have gone. Some of the pains have left some people. Now, check your body now. Try to find what was there. If you notice a relief, let me see your hand up. Yeah, there's a relief already. Hallelujah. There's a relief on two people already. Three people already.
Four people already. Five people already. Six here already. Now listen. But you see, even though six people have been healed, the person I saw that I began to pray for healing is this lady. Even though other people have been healed. Okay, somebody healed there. What happened to you? On admission for 17 days. Jesus. Emergency for 10 days. He was limping. Stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. You are healed. You are healed. You are healed. Come, come, come to me. Come to me. Come here. You are healed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I confirm his healing by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. You are healed. He's healed. But this one that I saw, the reason why it was her that God showed me is because I will need to pray for some time. You see, if you see one thing, alright? If you see one thing, it actually means many things. Many people, alright? But that one person, you need to pay attention to that person. Can we pray for her for 5 minutes? Then we'll close. 5 minutes. Five. Leo Kande, Morasula Cabre, Varesco, Brezavalato Minacasca Saila, Livoros de Saila Zufris, Gafuratula Cabrenzo Baraca Tambre, Gobria Suga, Varenos Avelete, Avelete Culabura, Fatande Costande Brascatala. Antolia Kandahala Barakatali Monsege Ansamonda Karabosha Kapatalimo Ansambole Kuria Prasketonge Bahara Engo Vanila Haratoske Bregedahuta Kwata Mandali Aha Borokuta Kulatengo Samanda Aminan Sole Kovo Zahando. Yes. Lord says today you will be made every whit whole, and that you will also be released into warfare ministry. Warfare ministry. You will not only be healed, but you will be released into warfare ministry. God will give you authority in the spirit, so that you can change things from the realm of the spirit. Yes. 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 Let there be healing from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. You will sleep like a baby. Hallelujah. Now, it's unfortunate we are out of time. I cannot keep on going, but I would have taught us some tricks, some few secrets in dealing with the Holy Ghost. Aya, aya, kelo mahasi akumba, aya bukoria. You know, when it has started, it's hard to stop. Miato konda. There's somebody, one person. God is giving you the gift of healing, the gift. You'll be able to minister. Okay, it's coming stronger. See, it's coming. See, the angel of the Lord is already at work. It's moving. He's giving. Oh my God. He's stronger from the Lord. Stronger from the Lord. He's opening up himself and he's depositing something there. It's a gift. Manta oroko saka payatokina. Oh my. Holy Ghost. Kavale no kobosekle. Yes, receive that gift. Receive it. There are two people now. Receive it.
receive it, 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 receive it. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. The hand of God is here to dispatch it. Come. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you transfer to her the grace for her to become a warrior in the spirit. Receive grace. Receive grace for warfare. Grace for warfare. Grace for warfare. You were called to liberate. You were called to liberate. You were called to liberate. So receive grace. Grace for war. Grace for war. Grace for war. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes. Now you have received it. Thank you, Lord. Now there are places and there are people that you see upon whom death has casted a shadow. When you see the shadow of death upon somebody, hallelujah, there's something to do to cause death to turn backward. And I speak like this because I see one in this congregation. Death has been hunting you for long. Maya ko marasila. Maya mane kore. Maya so kate brenda kusa farato mina habresko maana. Oronoko soko moroko salabando. You know, we come to the house of God to live, not to die. So stretch your hand in this direction. And we need to turn back the darkness that has been conjured. The darkness has been conjured on him. Can we pray for him? Break the hold of darkness. Break the hold of darkness. Break the hold. Break the hold. Shehi kaman salaboroko santo. Mandoroko santo. Mandoroko seneke. Makayato mine salabo. Makayata mine salabo. Mandolot ika presko salika marahalana. I am Boraka Mana. Semina Kole Boria Salabota. Mekaba Sedekon. Mekaba Branda Sulebaria Marakate Menso Bende Helekan. Sheba Bola Marakatana Babondi. Sheba Bonda Sela Handen. Anta Mana Kalabo Santo. Shemina Branda Baboria Salaba. Thank you, Lord. 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 Sia bota, sia lahalaba, asabero compre sata manda parata, eso pregete la supria la babosa mate, eco paria sateli manconda, angomberesi, I cabalaman. In Jesus' mighty name. Now you can stand if you want to, and you are going to pray for your family. You release a word about your family. Now I want you to identify one member of that family that is a concern. And you are making a specific request about that person. Lift your voice. Let's pray right now. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. One member of that family. You are making a request. Esovela yiga bato maniga basele. Ombres kanda bakonde kete borokale. Kanda raba osaka. Mesombre. Kabolonga paria nasika mande bobo. Ama mama. Yes, yes, the Lord will intervene. The mighty hand of God will be stretched forth. That one will not stray. That one will not stray. The devil will not have that life. The hand of God will descend. The hand of God will descend. The hand of God will descend. Ingon borosana handele borokose. Inga bante no kambra sata marata. Makamayato sana. Ante bregedani makori. Ante berekoskeda. Ika mansa branta babola. I stop it in the name of Jesus. Yagode, Yan Sombe de Combre, Mantalama, Horia Saka, Ayen Tombela, Kalemota, that the hand of God will go to work. The hand of God will go to work. The hand of God will go to work. Lord, I put my hands, my faith, with the faith of your Son, O Father, concerning his family. Oh God, your mighty hand, my go ahead, my go ahead. Let every chain that is hanging on the lives of his brother, in the name of Jesus, let it be broken. Let that destiny be loose. Cover la boto, enso mayeke tane, enso mayeke, saiko kande brenda, antala maboroske mansale. Yes, yes, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God. Mondelebo rakombo, rakombo. Let my people go that they may serve me. Elabonga ria samalante, samalante, samalante. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. The Lord returns. The Lord returns. Glory, 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 glory. The years that the caterpillar, the cankerworm has eaten shall be restored. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, 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 yes. The years that the locusts have eaten shall be restored. Glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, Masanda. Eka balato sabala. Eka sombresa nahanda. Ah, baka baba basoke. Lokonde besa Cristo. It shall be restored. It shall be restored. It shall be restored. It shall be restored. Ela monta mana handele koma na kombela. Endo la manda la bahonde samalande sa kombara tokolosima. Yes, yes, yes. The years have been restored.